In the new book, The Great Fire, One American's Mission to Rescue Victims of the 20th Century's First Genocide, journalist Lou Jurenek tells the story of one of history's most astonishing rescues. In 1922, a small-town American minister engineered the seemingly impossible evacuation of 250,000 destitute refugees from Smyrna, the richest and most cosmopolitan city of the Ottoman Empire. Smyrna was burned by the Turkish Nationalist Army in what was the last episode of the Christian genocide that swept Asia Minor in the early 20th century. Often referred to as the Armenian Genocide, the slaughter actually was aimed at all Christians in Turkey, Armenian, Greek, and Assyrian. The Great Fire recovers the lost story of how Reverend Asa Kent Jennings assembled a fleet of 50 ships to evacuate tens of thousands of women, children, and old men from Smyrna with the help of a courageous U.S. naval officer who skirted his orders to remain neutral while civilians were being slaughtered amid the city's ruins. Lou Jurenek is a former Nieman Fellow and editor-in-residence at Harvard University and a professor of journalism at Boston University. He was a deputy managing editor of the Philadelphia Inquirer, and we welcome Lou Jurenek to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Joe.
What led you to the story of looking to what happened so many years ago?
Well, I wanted to tell the story of Asa Jennings. I think of his story as one of the greatest American hero stories that no one knows about. Here is an American who lived basically from 1880 until about 1930, found himself at Smyrna in 1922, a very important year in terms of the genocide that was sweeping through Asia Minor at that time. And Jennings, a very unlikely hero, put together an evacuation, a rescue, really, that saved tens of thousands of lives. It's an astonishing accomplishment, and it was done in the face of tremendous obstacles. It's a great American story, and I wanted to tell that story.
Why do you think so few of us know that story?
Well, so few of us know about it because so few people know about what happened in Asia Minor in those years. You know, this is the period of the so-called Armenian Genocide. The Armenian Genocide occurred, classically, it's bracketed in 1915 and 1916, but really it was a 10-year religious cleansing of that part of the world. After it was all over, and Smyrna, the burning of Smyrna, which I will tell you about, at the center of the book, was the concluding episode in that genocide. After it was all over, the U.S. government, in particular the State Department and the professionals at the State Department, wanted to build a new commercial and diplomatic relationship with Turkey. There was a new nation there. The Republic of Turkey came out of the Ottoman Empire. And a lot of the American public did not want to build that relationship. It was very distressed over the killing that had occurred over the previous decade. 3 million Christians were murdered in the mass slaughter. It was a feeling generally among religious leaders in particular in America, Protestants, Jews, Roman Catholics, that we shouldn't build a relationship with Turkey, at least not right away. So there was a big argument, and the State Department really engaged in a kind of propaganda campaign that threw doubt on what had happened in those years and raised controversy and confusion around the Armenian Genocide, and we actually have that legacy today. You know, it's the genocide definitely occurred. There's a huge amount of historical evidence. Scholars have looked at it for decades. We have many, many eyewitness accounts from Americans. So there's no question that this genocide occurred, but the State Department sought to downplay it and actually erase it in a way from history so that the American public would accept a commercial and diplomatic relationship with Turkey going forward in the mid-1920s.
You make the point in the book that, as just by the title alone, The Great Fire, this was not an ordinary city fire. This was, when you look at our history of fires that take over cities, This was huge by those standards.
That's right. And, you know, it's worth mentioning that Smyrna was a very special place on the west coast of Turkey, the Aegean Sea. It was the richest city in Turkey. It was the most sophisticated city in that part of the world, the Eastern Mediterranean, more sophisticated than Beirut and Alexandria and so forth. It was a very special place. Wealthy, sophisticated, tolerant, lots of different religious groups lived together essentially in harmony at Smyrna, Jews, Christians, Muslims. And so the burning of Smyrna, the destruction of Smyrna, was really a terrible thing on many levels. It was a poignant symbol. Many tens of thousands of people died. And yes, it was a huge fire. It burned for 3 days. At its height, it was 2 miles long and a mile deep. And Smyrna had about 500,000 residents. Making matters worse, when this fire broke out, there were about 300,000 refugees in the city. These were poor people, basically peasant farmers, Christians, who had fled the interior of Turkey ahead of the Turkish army. The Turkish army was approaching Smyrna. They fled to Smyrna thinking that they would be safe there. And they were when the city was set on fire, the residents of Smyrna, as well as all of these refugees who had been sleeping in railroad stations, cemeteries, on the street, wherever they could find a place, they were destitute. They were driven down to the waterfront. So we have this spectacle on the first night of the fire, Wednesday, September 13, where about 500,000 people are caught between a very big and very hot fire and the harbor, in a narrow area that was called the Quay. It was kind of a promenade, about a two-mile-long promenade along the Smyrna waterfront. And the fire was so hot that the ships in the harbor, the warships, American warships and others, British, French, Italian, had to drop back because the flammables on their decks, the canvas, the ropes, and so forth, were bursting into flame. So you can imagine what it was like for the people. The people were jumping into the water. They were drowning. They were attempting to swim out to the ships. They weren't making it. They were, not dressed for a swim. Many didn't know how to swim. There were suicides. It was a hellish scene. These refugees had brought their animals into the city. Among the few possessions they had, donkeys and goats and, horses and so forth. When the fire broke out, these animals were among the people down at the quay. The packs on their backs caught fire. The animals were stampeding back and forth. It was really a horrible scene. Up until that point in history, it was one of the worst humanitarian disasters in history. And the story that I ultimately tell in the book is how an American Relief Committee was formed. We had a big presence in Smyrna, the Americans, both a missionary presence and a business presence. And the American Relief Committee tried to provide some relief, some medicine, some food. After the fire was out, there was no food in the city, very little water. Disease was rampant because the sanitary situation was out of control. So the hero of the book, Asa Jennings, this unlikely hero from upstate New York, he was an unsuccessful Methodist minister, joined the YMCA, was transferred to Smyrna to work with young men. The first thing he did was put together, he occupied a series of mansions that had been abandoned by their owners. Smyrna was famous for its very wealthy big mansions along the waterfront. He occupied a number of these and turned them into safe houses for women who had been raped. There were thousands of women who had been raped in Smyrna by the Turkish army, and Jennings sought to take care of them. And he did that, he did it through the fire. He was, maybe the only American, probably the only Western person who stayed in the city through the fire. Everyone else got onto ships and sought safety and so forth. He stayed with his people through the fire and afterward, and then sought to do what he could when the fire was complete. But it soon became clear to everybody that the only answer to the problem, this crisis at Smyrna, was a major evacuation. The Turkish army was killing people. There was no opportunity for people to return to their homes in the countryside. The city was destroyed, and But the problem was there were no ships available. None of the ships in the area wanted to come into Smyrna because of the disease. There was no money to be made on shipping refugees. The governments, the great powers, the United States, Britain, France, and Italy, were inert. They, you know, paralyzed. They decided essentially to stay out of it. And so on Wednesday, September 20, his birthday, Asa Jennings took the first step in what would be several steps. Very courageous, unorthodox for sure. You know, he told some lies. He had to overstate his portfolio. He even extorted a foreign government. But in the end, he was able to put together a flotilla of ships. Unbelievable. Here's a guy who didn't know the a bow from the stern. He put together a flotilla of ships, and working with a really extraordinary U.S. naval officer who was essentially disobeying his orders.
Right.
The two of them worked together to engineer this evacuation.
This fleet is some 50 ships, we should note, and also this U.S. naval officer was disobeying the command, which was to remain neutral, correct?
That's correct. You know, the United States took the view, for a variety of reasons, that it was not going to get involved, that the people who were being slaughtered were Ottoman subjects, and that it was not our business to get involved. And we also, the government, and when I say we, I mean the United States government, and in particular, again, the professionals in the State Department, were looking ahead to the emergence of a new Turkey and the need for the United States to develop a relationship with the new government so that it could have access to Near Eastern oil, to the railroad concessions, to mineral rights, and so forth. So for a variety of reasons, the Harding administration decided not to get involved. But making matters worse, we had a high commissioner, a kind of ambassador representing the United States in Constantinople in those years, who did not want to rescue refugees. He didn't like Greeks, Armenians, and Jews. He was very upfront about that. And he dragged his feet on relief efforts, on a rescue effort, and so forth. And he had directed his consuls, most especially George Horton, the American consul general at Smyrna, and his officers. He had a detachment of U.S. destroyers in the Eastern Mediterranean. Don't rescue refugees. That's not what we're there for. And we're there to protect American tobacco warehouses, the oil tanks of the Standard Oil Company, and so forth. But Halsey Powell, the U.S. naval officer who worked with Jennings, was an unusual guy. He, you know, he had an instinct for rescue. He had done rescue in the past. He was independent. He was capable and competent, and he seemed to be willing to get involved, and he did get involved, and he and Jennings did something quite miraculous. I think is not too strong a word in this context. They removed 250,000 people from that city in 7 days. There was a Turkish deadline. Everybody has to be out in 7 days, or we're going to begin marching them into the interior. And of course, that was a code phrase for what had happened to the Armenians in 1915 and 1916. The deportations really was a death sentence. And so that's what hung over the city of Smyrna when Jennings and Powell went into action.
Further remarkable is the fact, and I found this incredible, that Jennings was crippled by tuberculosis and typhoid.
Yeah, you know, he was the most unlikely hero and, to me, a real inspiration in terms of modeling behavior in the face of obstacles. You know, as a young man, he had tuberculosis. It turned into something called Pott's disease, which is an infection of the spine. His spine collapsed. He lost 5 inches of height, was in a full body cast for almost 2 years. He barely survived. He did survive, and thereafter, he was a cheerful guy and a little motor of a man, but every day of his life he had a fever. And he had tremendous pain in his back and thorax. Didn't complain about it. It was really only something he talked about with his wife, and the people around him didn't know about it. But despite that, you know, he Jennings is an interesting guy. He was raised in a tradition of religious service, the so-called social gospel was a very powerful part of the American thinking in those years. you know, and we had missionaries around the world trying to do good, and Jennings was part of that, and he definitely wanted to be useful. This was sort of the goal in his life. He wanted to be useful, and he surely made himself useful at Smyrna.
The name of the book is The Great Fire, One American's Mission to Rescue Victims of the 20th Century's First Genocide. The book is published by Echo. Lou Jurenik, thank you very much for sharing with us this morning. A great pleasure to have you on the program.
Joe, it's my pleasure.
Again, the name of the book is The Great Fire, One American's Mission to Rescue Victims of the 20th Century's First Genocide. It's published by Echo. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.